Phyllis Carrot is a Wiccan high priestess as well as a lawyer. She talked with Anne Strangechamps about her book, Witchcrafting.
Making magic to me is what happens when we've learned to take the blindfold off and discover that the world that we live in is holy, that it's divine and that it's alive, that it's conscious. And making magic is, it's a co-creative process with the divine.
So how does that translate practically into what you do as a Wiccan, as a witch? How do you practice your magic?
There are a variety of ways of practicing. I have recently sort of been coining a new definition of what a witch is. The word witch is an old Anglo-Saxon word, witch. It meant wise one or a shaman, and that's what it is, the shamanism now of modern America and Europe. The way that I think of a witch now is as somebody who's paying attention. It's somebody who's able to see the sacred in the world around them and to make contact with it. And so what you do as a witch is basically you use a system of practices. They're simple. They're accessible. A lot of what witches do involves learning from nature, because for us, nature is the embodiment of the divine. And so a lot of our practices, like the invocation of the four directions with a circle, involve working in nature. Things like, there's a wonderful practice called grounding and centering, which can be done indoors, but which is best done outside, which is an amazing technique for running the energy of the earth up through your body.
How do you do it?
You sit on the ground. I always recommend at the beginning, when people are first working, that they sit with their back against a tree, because that intensifies the experience. And you relax. You use simple relaxation techniques. You know, you relax the muscles in your face and throughout your entire body. You breathe deeply. Begin by using simple meditation, which can be as simple as deep breaths drawn in and held and then exhaled. And as you feel yourself growing quiet and still, you feel, you visualize, you imagine. And as you become more skilled at it, you literally experience the sending down of roots from the bottom of your spine into the earth beneath you. And you root yourself like a tree into the earth. And then as you inhale, you begin to draw the energy of the earth up through those roots. And at the beginning, it may feel like you're imagining it. But as you practice, the physical sensations become increasingly clear and powerful. And it's a remarkable experience. You can literally feel the energy of the earth, the energy that makes all things grow, that makes trees grow and plants grow and us grow, entering your body, and you can move it literally up your spine and through your body, through the organs of your body, through the bloodstream. You bring it up through the chakras. Each of the energy centers in the body can be used for healing. You can direct the energy into parts of your body that need healing. You can store it in your heart. It's very energizing, and it places you in immediate contact with the innate divinity of the earth. And that energy then can be used to power your entire day.
You've written in the book that sometimes you get frustrated when you give a whole talk on Wicca, and I imagine you say some of what you've just been saying, only to have somebody raise their hand and say, can I just have a love spell?
Yep.
What bothers you about that?
Well, it's very characteristic of the give-it-to-me-quick generation, you know, the generation of instant gratification, which is certainly what we are. One of the problems with that is that it actually comes out of an old mindset that we've all grown up with, the idea that the world is a machine and that a spell is sort of the secret of how to make that machine operate with maximum efficiency, you know?
The idea you, instead of pressing buttons, you say exactly these words and grind up these herbs and move these in these directions and bingo, you'll get what you want.
Precisely. Pull the lever and down comes the candy bar. That's exactly how a lot of people think of spells. And some people at the beginning of their practice actually approach it that way. But as you begin to do this work, you realize that the world is most definitely not a machine. There are laws of nature that operate, but the world is alive. And so the real way to cast a spell is, as we were talking about earlier, that idea of a co-creative process. When you cast a spell is very much an aesthetic experience. It's kind of religious art. It's a form of offering to the divine, and it's a drawing up of your own divine creativity and a way of giving it shape and form in the world.
So do you use spells mostly for kind of high-minded sorts of things? healing or sending good wishes to somebody else or improving kind of the flow of energy in your life? Or do you ever do them for really mundane, practical things like, I don't know, getting the mice out of your house or getting the getting the concert tickets you really want?
Oh, yeah. You read that story in the book, right? Yeah. The fact is that shamanism, which is what contemporary Wicca primarily is, has always been used for practical purposes. It was used as a means of communing with the divine, of opening oneself up to the sacred reality in which we live and that lives within us. And it was also used for very immediate, personal, and pragmatic ends. Where to find the herd when you need to go hunting, which hill to go over, which direction to walk in, where the cave is where, you know, you're going to dwell. Most significantly for the diagnosis of illness and for finding a cure, particularly in nature, finding herbs. They didn't have labs to determine, you know, which herbs could kill you and which could cure you. And if you asked a shaman, they would tell you that they knew because the plants talked to them. And yes, people do use spells for getting a job, getting an apartment in New York, which is like the quest for the Holy Grail. You know? It's a very serious quest. It's definitely used for healing practices. It's used for communing with the divine, but it is also used for very sort of simple, direct, and daily matters. I cast a spell to get concert tickets, and not only did I end up getting concert tickets, but the tickets were at the absolute back of the theater up in the nosebleed region, and got there early, sat down with my friends, and within 5 minutes of sitting down, one of the fellows who were part of the concert team came over and brought us down to the front row of this enormous, vast auditorium, so we had front row seats.
Just out of the blue. There was no reason for them to do that?
Oh, no. I cast a spell. That's why it happened. It was a really good spell. I was just kind of surprised that it was that effective. Spells don't always work. Spells are really very much like prayers. The difference is that instead of praying to a divinity that is transcendent or removed or outside of yourself and principally male, although you do invoke the aid of this greater divinity in which we all live, you're going to the well of your own divine gifts. And you're bringing it out and bringing that energy forth and giving it shape in the world. A spell's never used to control anyone else. So if you were to do a love spell, for example, you wouldn't try to make the fellow down the hall fall in love with you. I always tell people, be careful what you ask for because you're quite likely to get it.
Phyllis Carratt, talking with Anne Strangechamps. Carratt is a Wiccan high priestess, and she's written a book called Witchcrafting.